Chapter 6. Who had I become? The street lamps seemed to shimmer in the growing darkness coming in, one by one, almost like chasing away the last remains of sunlight, which danced quickly down the empty street. The vibrant young man loved to watch this nightly ritual, as it marked the end of another exciting day in his blessed life. His days seemed so simple, so carefree. Little did this sweet little boy know what life soon had in store for him. With a twinkle in his sparkling blue eyes, ran into the house to find his dad. He had to tell him how the sun had danced away again that night and all he had done throughout the day. As he went skipping and smiling down the hall toward the family room, he could hear the sound of voices faintly before him. He slowed now as he drew closer to the door, not making a sound. He came to a sudden halt, though, as he heard his mother from the other side cry out in a loud voice, "No, you can't let them take Chase." Gently pushing the door open, he heard his father's deep voice say, "This is his calling. He's old enough to start his training now." Just as his father spoke, the door's hinges squeaked out an announcement to all of Chase's presence. This caused his mother's crying to increase, and his father to change his compassionate expression to that of instant sternness. It was then that Chase first caught sight of the powerfully built stranger who stood just beyond the parents like an ominous silhouette. His mother dropped to her knees. She threw her arms out, beckoning Chase to come forward. He ran and threw his arms around her neck and held her tight as his mind tried to grasp what was going on. His father fought to stay devoid of emotion while pulling his son from his mother's firm grip. And just then, the large stranger stepped out of the shadows, placing his strong hand on Chase's shoulder, looking straight into the child's eyes with a glare that pierced deeply into his very being. Chase's mind so wanted to escape to the time earlier in the day when he was running happily through the streets and wrestling with his neighbor boys. His eyes even glanced away for a moment as if to find a way of escape, yet somehow he knew in his heart that wasn't possible. In submission, he slumped beneath the stranger's grip. "Stand up, lad," he heard the deep voice growl. He looked up in instant acknowledgement of the man's authority. He spoke with such forcefulness that one knew instantly not to think of disobeying. His father quickly stepped back with unquestioning respect. The man's voice boomed again as he spoke to Chase's father this time. "You understand, he leaves tonight, becomes the property of the state." He went on to explain that Chase's life would no longer be his. The state would now decide his coming, his going, set a course for his future. With that, his mother let out a final, muffled whimper, seeming to no longer be willing to challenge the stranger's wishes. With her emotions in check, she did all she could, which was to watch and wait. His father, too, seemed to have taken on a posture of complacency, releasing total control of the moment to the stranger, whose focus again fixed firmly upon Chase. The man said, "Officer Bertrand, and you will go with your mother now, pack your belongings, report back to me at once. Is that clear?" Chase instinctively said, "Yes, sir." With that, Chase rose, walked with his mother in silence from the room. They walked slowly together, speaking not a word until they finally reached his room. Chase opened the door and let his mother enter first. Barely had he set foot in the door when his mother broke down completely, letting all her held-back tears flow freely, yet keeping any sound from coming forth lest she be heard. Chase just held her, looking at her as a child seeking answers to a question he never, ever before considered. "What's going on?" he thought. "I'm from a rich family. I'm very well-known and respected family. How can this be? My parents have always loved me, taken care of me, never allowing anything to threaten my well-being. Now my life seems shattered. Am I really to go with this man? Will I ever see my family again?" His mother finally stopped sobbing, looked longingly into her precious son's gentle, searching eyes. She told him all that had happened and what was ahead. She explained how all the sons in their region, whether born wealthy or born poor, were being taken by the state, more specifically for training, preparation of a life in military service. He was being drafted. This was considered a great honor, yet not without great sacrifice as well. She told him how proud his father was of him, explained how just before he had come in the room, his father had been bragging of all Chase's victories in the local sporting events. This was of great interest to the officer. Added to Chase's natural birthright as one of the wealthy, his strength, athleticism, gave him the promising potential to excel in the state service. Somehow this seemed of little importance to Chase at the moment. He was far too shaken by the events of the evening to care a thing about any thoughts of promising potential. The two talked longingly over memories as they selected those belongings that would go with him. Even found a couple of moments for laughter to be mixed in. With everything stashed in a large bag, they headed back down the hall, exchanging slight glances as they walked, somehow knowing they might be sharing their last moments together. Both sought to block those thoughts, not wanting in any way to taint these last memories together. As they approached the door, they could hear the two men inside talking. They opened the door. Both men became instantly quiet, turning to face them. Officer Bertrand stepped forward with what almost seemed like compassion in his eyes. He told Chase to tell his parents goodbye and meet him outside. Turning quickly, he walked out the door, never glancing back, fully expecting to be obeyed. Chase looked at his dad, who finally showed a slight tear as he reached out for his son. The three held each other tight for a long time. Then suddenly his father pulled away, took out the sternness he had shown before, and he told Chase he needed to obey and get going. Chase moved slowly toward the door, glancing back as he went. They both told him they loved him as he disappeared through the door and effectually walked out of their lives. It was clear his life was never going to be the same again. This officer now showed no emotion as he ordered him into the back of the wagon. So began his life of military service. Quickly he learned he had no life of his own, no value aside from serving the state. The officer seemed very pleased as he watched this gentle-natured young man daily transformed into a heartless military machine. Excelling in the qualities of a hardened soldier, he quickly moved up the ranks. His intelligence added to his natural abilities, helping him not only survive, but also actually surpass all he was asked to do. Still, something inside him cried out every time cruelty was expected or more like demanded of him. He had learned to obey without thinking or worry about how or what he did affected others except his superiors. Chase grew more influential in their eyes, yet as he did, that gentle, caring person he once had been seemed to almost completely fade away. Killing and controlling had come completely second nature now. He had finally become all Officer Bertrand had envisioned that fateful day so many years ago in his parents' house. He had now become one of the most proficient warriors. Chase rarely gave thought of a man he had become, yet he was about to come face to face with an enemy he had never been trained to fight. This enemy was himself. He would find himself fighting a back-and-forth battle between who the world had made him to be or getting back to who God had created him to be. The peace and innocence. Oh yes, the joy. It lives within every little boy. The world's his playground where true happiness is found. Yet one day he wakes there to find a different world, one not so kind. All that was sacred and so secure is ripped away. Life's no longer pure. Yet deep within is the memory of all his childhood happiness he tries to recall. When a day was filled with happy sounds, there this little boy grew by leaps and bounds. And had he run home to share his day and tell his parents how he did play, just how he won, but all his fun, wanting most to be their loving son. His memories are growing dim. Who is he now? What's become of him? His heart's grown cold, his muscles strong. He's winning still, but something's wrong. The peace within is all but lost. Crushed innocence is another cost. And joy has long since washed away. Evil's growing stronger every day. It was hard to think of that little boy when he now crushes away others' joy. This has made him a cold and heartless thing. Now his winning has a deadly sting. So how have they succeeded here? By taking love and replacing it with fear. But can a loving heart ever truly die? Or will it someday reject the lie? They ripped away all that was right, and there within began to fight. Will the flame of love begin to burn? As for the past, it starts to yearn. Will someone, something affect your view? Make you think about what you do? Make you face yourself and see that you are not what you were made to be?